Hello, and welcome to show number 2523 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
One really important mechanism that has saved me for decades is asking people to spell. I ask everyone I meet to spell their names. If their name is Mary, I say, how do you spell it? Because it might be Sherry, and it might be Terry, and it might be, so I ask everyone to spell their name. And then, I laugh a little if it's a common name like Bob. But I didn't hear Bob. Maybe I heard Rob.
And what a great hint for people who have some hearing problems. And of course, just because you might be visually impaired doesn't mean you might not be hard of hearing. It's quite common to have both issues.
On today's show, we'll be talking about adapting to combined hearing and vision loss. We'll speak with author Deborah Kendrick about her book, When Your Ears Can't Help You See, Strategies for Blind and Low Vision Individuals with Hearing Loss. She'll share her personal experiences with hearing aids, various apps, and finding supportive audiologists. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Deborah Kendrick.
It's a bit of a two-part tip. First of all, I call it shake the shame. I wasted a lot of time not wanting people to know about my hearing aids. If you need hearing aids, please get them and enjoy the full life that you deserve and that hearing will make more possible. And the other part is to remember that when you got your white cane, somebody didn't just hand it to you and say, now you know how to travel the streets independently. Or when you got your guide dog, someone didn't just hand it to you with expectations. There was a commitment to learn and to become competent with those aids. And so the same is true with hearing aids. Don't expect yourself to be able to hear perfectly right away. It takes time and tweaking by the audiologist and training of your own brain to learn how to hear in a different way.
Well, and just getting used to the new variety of sounds that are coming in that you haven't heard, presumably, for a while.
Yes, because things sound somewhat different. With one, people on the hearing aids list talk about how one brand has one kind of sound and another brand has another kind of sound. It's something you have to experience to understand, but it's true. Your brain has to adjust to each, but the end result is you can hear.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
First Aid for the Blind, teaching blind and vision-impaired clients important life skills through live video training from blind instructors. The purpose of FAFTB's training is to replace the fear of the unknown with feelings of hope and confidence. More information is at FAFTB.com.
And by
Biped AI, the Swiss startup behind Noah, an all-in-one mobility tool worn on the shoulders. Noah provides audio GPS instructions, detects obstacles, and describes surroundings in real time using its live AI feature. More information is available at biped.ai.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Let's start by meeting Deborah Kendrick.
Today we have a guest who's been with us before, and she has a book that I think many of our listeners would be interested in hearing about. So, Deborah, can you tell us who you are and what you're doing these days?
My day job, so to speak, is that I provide technical support for the National Library Service for the Blind. But in real life, I am and always have been a writer and I've written a number of nonfiction books and created a magazine many moons ago called Tactic, and it was acquired by the American Foundation for the Blind to become Access World. I'm still part of that team. And I did an op-ed, weekly op-ed column that ran in a number of newspapers for almost 30 years on disability rights called Alive and Well. And most recently, I joined a team at National Braille Press writing a column I call Kendrick Insight for a magazine called Our Special, which is in Braille only. I'm sorry. And writing a few books, the most recent of which is When Your Ears Can't Help You See, Strategies for Blind or Low Vision Individuals with Hearing Loss.
And you had a particular interest in writing such a book since you were born blind with no vision and later on as a teenager found that you had some hearing loss, which eventually got worse as an adult. And although you were used to being blind since you were blind from such an early age, being deaf was a whole new thing to deal with.
Indeed, yes. So I've had a long time to perfect and explore and experiment and develop techniques and make a lot of mistakes that I hope all of that experience came together to write this book to help other people skip some of them.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Deborah Kendrick's book, When Your Ears Can't Help You See, Strategies for Blind and Low Vision Individuals with Hearing Loss.
I thought it was interesting how you started out the book. Before we talk about some of the details that people might consider how you could fix hearing with hearing aids and devices like that, you started out the book by talking about some simple things that you can do to help issues with hearing, like things around the house, how you can arrange your house, how you can design your house. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, because those were things that I thought about before getting hearing aids. They were intuitive solutions that I now totally make a lot more sense. So the main one, I think, is finding the best, I call it the best hearing seat in a group. So I have a habit, which annoys some, is ignored by others. when I go into a meeting in a conference room or a gathering in a restaurant, before I sit down, I walk around the table and I listen because I need to find the best hearing seat. And even at a table of six people in a restaurant, if you sit on the wrong side of the table, you're maybe not going to hear any of the conversation. And if you sit on the right side, these words being in quotes, you might at least hear 80% of it. So some of the things to look for, putting a wall behind you is really good. And I always ask for a booth in a restaurant, for example, because with a booth, there's usually going to be some structure beside you and a higher back maybe behind you to keep external sounds from coming in.
Oh, yeah. The higher, the better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Some other kinds of things. I bought a new house maybe 15 years ago and realized that the living room was very echoey, and it was large, but it wasn't that large. It was just echoey. And then I realized it's because it was all hard surfaces, hardwood floors and wood blinds. And so I added carpets, area rugs, and soft furniture, and arrange the furniture in small groups if you can, so that you are not put in a situation, now in your own home, you can do this more than in someone else's, of course, but so you're not put in a situation where you're at one end of an 18-foot living room and having a conversation with someone at the other end. For anyone with hearing loss, that just doesn't work. We all need, even with quality hearing aids, the closer the better. If you or your loved one has a hearing loss with or without hearing aids, don't expect them to answer you coherently from two rooms away. It just isn't going to happen.
And I thought it was so great of you to start the book out that way, because these things are so simple, yet people often don't talk about these simple accommodations and different ways of doing things.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'd like to add to what you've been saying. You know, your book is addressed to people who have hearing loss. Well, I don't really consider myself as having hearing loss, but I'm over 70 and my hearing isn't what it was when I was 20. And I find, as you went through that list of behaviors, I do almost every single one of them, and they're a help.
That's great. And the thing is, the same guidelines work for hearing, whether you have vision or not. The difference being that if those of us who are blind, or whether you're completely blind or nearly blind, if you don't have your ears available as backup to what's going on, you need every simple advantage that you can throw into the mix to be able to participate. Because everyone knows, we hear it all the time, we read it in health newsletters and so forth, that hearing loss can be incredibly isolating.
So tell us about some of the more conventional solutions for dealing with hearing issues in terms of perhaps hearing aids.
Hearing aids today, if you care, which I no longer do, if you care that they're visible or not, it's not a problem anymore because they can be invisible. I no longer care about that. But there was a time when I did, where I was very embarrassed, had a lot of shame associated with it. I thought, oh, people pity me so much because I'm blind, and now it's going to double and be insufferable because if they find out that I can't hear either. So hearing aids today are like mini computers. There are five leading brands, and it's definitely best to get your first hearing aids with a qualified audiologist who will program them to meet your hearing needs, which are just as individual as the range of vision we all see among our blind friends. But it's not like you get hearing aids and there's a miracle and now you can hear everything again. Unfortunately, it takes a lot more work than that.
It's not exactly a plug and play process, is it?
Exactly. It is not. And I think that's one of the things that sends a lot of people away disappointed and discouraged and believing that these hearing aids don't work. It takes commitment to work with your audiologist, sometimes 5, 6, 7 trips back to get it right. And it's like your computer, right? Your computer isn't always perfect when you get a brand new one. You have to tweak it.
So after you get your hearing aid all tweaked up, which can be a process, as you point out in the book, you go on to say in the book that there are other devices that you can pair with your hearing aids. Tell us a little bit about these.
They come in, you know, different brands and shapes and sizes, but they're usually a small thing that, when activated, the sound coming into that little microphone is streamed directly to you, into your ear. So, for example, I've had one called a Connect Clip, and now I have one called a Roger On. In either case, it's a handheld, very small device that, if you're a student or a person attending a lecture or any church even, then you can have this device, turn it on, put it on the podium, or have the person speaking clip it to their caller. And then everything the main speaker says goes into that little microphone and directly to your ear as though they're speaking right into your ear.
Oh, so that's interesting. Instead of relying on the built-in microphones in your hearing aid, you put the microphone near the person who's speaking, and then you can hear them clearly from a distance.
Yes.
That's terrific.
In gatherings where there are multiple people, like the Roger that I just got recently, it's called Roger On, but everybody just calls it Roger. It can be heard by multiple people with hearing aids. So if you have a group of, they use it in schools for the deaf, where many of the children have hearing aids and the teacher wears the Roger, and then his or her voice is going directly into the ears of all those kids' hearing aids. And then the other thing that it's really useful for, I put mine next to my computer, and if I want to hear a long, long document, but I don't want to be sitting right in front of the computer for an hour and a half, I put the Roger next to the computer and start the document, and I can walk around, I can go into the other room. It will carry pretty well.
What other devices can you connect your hearing aids to?
Most of the leading hearing aids offer a TV adapter. A device that you plug into your TV. Again, the same idea. The sound from the TV streams directly into your ears and your hearing aids, but it's also heard by everyone else in the room. So the age-old familiar concept of the old person who can't hear the TV turning it up, blasting so everybody's hearing it down the street, they don't have to do that anymore because it can be a comfortable level for everybody else in the family and stream right into the hearing aids of the person with the hearing loss.
Now, when someone is blind and needs a hearing aid, do you have any special advice for them when they're looking for such a device? Or what kind of special things should they be looking for?
The important thing is not every audiologist is going to be as competent as needed. I don't know any other way to say that. Audiologists are trained to fit hearing aids for people who have trouble hearing, and nearly all of them know nothing about people who have trouble seeing. For example, if you use hearing aids, they stream to your iPhone, but audiologists don't know anything about voiceover. So what some of us are encountering with certain hearing aids is that the streaming from the phone works fine, but voiceover goes away. So who do you talk to about that if your audiologist doesn't understand? So, I mean, on all these things, they get worked out. That's what I'm saying. You have to be persistent because just like with each computer, you have to tweak it to fit you. It takes time, but that's certainly one thing, is to have an audiologist who gets it. And the other thing is for an audiologist to understand that your hearing aids need to be programmed in such a way that you can locate sound, because we use direction so much in knowing where we're heading, how to look at the person talking to us, where is that car anyway? Well, if hearing aids obliterate that, you might miss something coming right at you or behind you, but that can be adjusted with your hearing aids. And you need to be able to explain that. I talked in the book about, you know, the role that we play educating our audiologists, because in most cases, you're going to be the only blind hearing aid wearer they have encountered.
We do have some special requirements, though, as you pointed out.
Oh, yeah. And what I did for many, many years, so for lots of years, when I was walking, I would put one hearing aid in my pocket until I got to the destination, because then one ear could get the echolocation right. Now, unfortunately, I'm not able to do that anymore because I really need them both. But that's something that could benefit a lot of people. If you have, you know, mild or moderate hearing loss, just put one hearing aid in your pocket for a little while, but don't forget that it's there.
And don't let it fall out.
Yeah, right.
So, Deborah, are there any simple things that people can do if they don't have hearing aids?
There are a couple of iPhone apps. If you have an iPhone and, say, AirPods, one is a native app that Apple includes with every phone. It's called Live Listen. You'll find it under Settings, Accessibility, Hearing Devices, Live Listen. You point your iPhone's microphone at the person, say, in a restaurant, which is, you know, the hardest environment for all of us. So point it across the table. And it will act as a microphone, sending that voice into your ears. That works with AirPods, but it also works with most hearing aids. So if you're pre-hearing aid, you can try it with your AirPods. Another app that's similar is called Heard That, H-E-A-R-D-T-H-A-T. It does the same thing. It's slightly better in the sense that there's probably a little less echo than there is with Live Listen.
So the other thing with the AirPods, Apple in some of their latest iOS releases now has a function where you can either input an audiogram from an audiologist, or you can actually perform a hearing test where it will compensate over the frequency range when you're listening to things with your AirPods. People want to try that out.
Yeah, I haven't played with those yet myself.
If you're concerned about it being difficult to read the results of your hearing test in order to input it into the iPhone, you actually don't need to do that. You just take a photograph of the hearing test results and it reads the whole thing.
Oh, good.
And of course, these days, since the laws have changed, there are now some over-the-counter hearing devices available for people with mild to moderate hearing loss. So people ought to take a look at some of those also.
It is nice to know that these days there are actually choices available.
Yes, yes.
Well, great, Deborah. Your book is really a great resource for people with hearing loss and considering buying hearing aids or devices, and they can use that as a valuable resource to talk with their audiologist about getting things right.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Deborah Kendrick's book about dealing with combined hearing and vision loss, how to get it, how to contact her, and some other useful resources for people who have both hearing and vision loss.
Well, Deborah, remind us of the name of the book again and tell our listeners where they can find it.
The title of the book is When Your Ears Can't Help You See, Strategies for Blind and Low Vision Individuals with Hearing Loss. It is available from National Braille Press. The website is NBP, nationalbraillepress.org. The phone number is 800-548-7323. The book is available in hard copy Braille and hard copy print and a variety of electronic Braille formats. And some people have written to tell me that they have purchased the print copy and given it to their audiologist, which I think is a wonderful idea.
And if people had questions for you, do you have contact information?
Yeah, I can give my email address. I'm okay with that. It's dkk33709@outlook.com. And I've just begun playing around with Facebook and Mastodon a little, so you might find me on those social media platforms.
And just search for Deborah Kendrick?
Deborah Kiefer Kendrick, actually, because there's a Deborah Kendrick is a very common name.
Can you spell that?
Yeah. So Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Kiefer, K-E-E-F-E-R. Kendrick, K-E-N-D-R-I-C-K.
And what other resources do you have to recommend to people?
There's an email list that I have just enjoyed and learned from so much. It's a group's IO list. It's called Blind Hearing Aid Users. And so if you go to, it's the same protocol you use for all groups.io, blind hearing aid users plus subscribe at groups.io. There are a lot of really knowledgeable people on that list who are just so willing to share information. It's great. But the other program that I think is not nearly widely known enough is the ICANN Connect program. ICANN Connect came into being with the Communications Video and Accessibility Act in 2012. It's part of that, part of the same act that brings us a lot of audio description. It created a program to provide training and technology to facilitate communication for people who have combined vision and hearing loss. So it's administered by the Federal Communications Commission, and you can go to icanconnect.org to read about it, to make an application, and then they can be given computers and iPhones and iPads and, you know, other devices that enable communication and the training if needed to go with it. So it's just a wonderful program.
Oh, that's terrific.
As usual, all that information can be found in the show notes with this episode, which is 2523, at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. By the way, we've done a number of episodes in the past where we talked about hearing and vision loss, and if you use the search field on our website and just put in the word hearing, you'll find all those episodes, along with links to the audio and the show notes.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about pathways to employment in digital accessibility. We'll talk with Tanner Gears, CEO and founder of Accessibility Officer, about their training program that certifies blind professionals, providing them with real-world skills, apprenticeships, and employment opportunities in digital accessibility testing.
Thanks for joining us this week, and we hope you'll join us again for next week's episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.